Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Exodus, book number 2 in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter number 19. We just quoted the theme verse earlier. We're going to be looking at a verse there, and we'll be turning to several other places of Scripture. As we continue our lesson, lesson 7 on treasures of darkness, we have 4 goals for this series. I'd like to read them to you again tonight and pray that God continues to ingrain them into your heart and my heart, that we might be even thinking about these throughout the week. The first goal is to find the treasures of darkness that God has for us during difficult times in life. There are treasures even in the challenging times. Number two, to understand that our great comfort is in the presence of God, not in the absence of trouble. I think most of us would rather get rid of the trouble. At least that's what we think on the surface. But really what we need is the presence of God. And as believers, we have the presence of God. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Number three, to see that God allows things in our lives to prepare us to be what He desires for us to be. God has a purpose and plan for everything that is in your life and my life. Number four, the fourth goal, overall goal, is to trust the Lord during days of darkness, knowing that God has a perfect understanding of the past, the present, and the future. Now we have six in lesson 7 aims for tonight's lesson. Number one, to learn that God desires for us to know Him and to enter into sweet communion with Him. The Christian life is not just getting saved, getting baptized, getting discipled, and then that's the end of it. No, it's drawing nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to us. It's getting to know God, and the only way we get to know God is through His Word. Number two, to see that God is working in all things to bring us unto Himself. To bring us unto Himself. Number three, to know that God is building the lives of His children and that He will complete the work He has begun. We referred to that verse even this morning in the morning message, that He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Fourthly, to understand that the Lord breaks up things in our lives to cause us to seek Him. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I think if you've been saved for any length of time, you've experienced what I just read. You've experienced something being broken up in your life. Because we get comfortable, we get at ease, and God breaks that mold, if you will. And it's not because God is angry, it's because God loves. God desires for us to be closer to Him. Number five, to realize that God is always watching over us, that He will never leave us and never forsake us. Now lastly, to explain that when we fail or fall, God will bear us up on His wings. We have a great, loving, almighty God. The lesson theme tonight, title is God Bears Us on Eagle's Wings. Notice Exodus 19, 3 and 4. Exodus 19, 3 and 4. And Moses went up unto God. Moses is 80 years old at this time. Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please, would you help us to understand what you want us to learn tonight. Help us to be paying attention to what your word has to say. Help us not to be thinking of what happened yesterday, even this morning. What's coming later in the week. Help us to focus our attention on what you have in this very hour. There could be one thing, there could be one verse, there could be one principle that you have, even what we've already read, each of those were given with and on purpose. And Father, I pray that we would not allow different things to distract us from what you have for us. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, someone here that's playing the game, they know how to play the Christian game, they know some verses, maybe they even grew up in church. but they know they're not saved. I pray, God, you'd bring conviction upon their heart even tonight. For those that are here tonight that are saved, but really they're away from you. They're here, but they're really not here. They'd rather be doing something else. Father, I pray that you'd bring conviction upon their heart. Lord, I pray that you'd convict me, even as I'm teaching tonight, of areas of my life that need to be surrendered in a greater way to you. Lord, help us, if we're saved, to be emptied of ourselves and filled with your Spirit, that we might be Spirit-filled listeners tonight, that you would receive glory in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the meaning of life? The meaning of life. Well, we find it in that last statement in verse number 4. Notice verse number 4. He says, I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Brought you unto myself. A definition for the meaning of life is getting closer to the Creator God, knowing him in a greater way, and he wants us to know him in a greater way. So Moses is not leading the people necessarily to a new land. Yes, he was leading them out of Egypt. God was bringing them out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, 400 and some odd years of bondage, where they were brick makers and they were making it for Pharaoh and doing all that and all the different tasks that Pharaoh had for them. And yes, God delivered them out of that bondage, and praise God for doing that, but it wasn't so much that Moses was leading them to Canaan. While yes, that was the destination that they were going, but God says here, remind them of what I did. Moses, remind the people of what I did, but remind them that while I'm doing that, notice that last statement, he says, I'm bringing them unto me. So he's not bringing them to Canaan per se, that's a byproduct of it all, but really what God is saying here is that he was bringing them to a person. He was bringing them to himself. When God saved you, Egypt is a picture of the world. When God saved you out of the world, he wasn't saving you just so that someday you could go to heaven. Most people don't get saved and then in one millisecond drop over dead of a heart attack and enter the presence of the Lord. That can happen, but I don't think it happens very often. God saves us not just to go to heaven, but God saves us so that while we're in this world that we live in, filled with challenges and difficulties and all those things, but what he has saved us to bring us closer to him. See, I can't be close to God until I'm saved. Why can't I be close to God? Here's why. God is holy. And a sinner, which is still what I am, but when God sees me tonight, you know what he sees me? He sees me, and if you're saved, he sees you as righteous. Why? Because you have applied the blood of his son to your account. When you got saved, the songwriter said your account was settled. And when you got saved, all of your sin, past, present, and future, was settled by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, and remember what happened at Calvary? The veil was rent in two. No longer do we need the priest to go to God for us. We can go directly to God in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, prior to getting saved, we don't have that access because we come with sinful hands. But when we get saved, we come with hands that are covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God did not save me, or God did not save you simply for eternity, although he did. He saved us that we might draw nigh to him now, so that we can have that fellowship with him now. And so that is what he is saying here to Moses, reminding them of that. Would you hold your place here and go to the New Testament book of Philippians, please? If you have the book we didn't have enough, we sold them so quickly, but if you have the little book that we gave with this class, I want to remind you that there are some verses and passages of scripture that you can read during the week, and it's kind of in preparation for the lesson. It tells you that, hey, how about reading these verses, and because those verses are going to be gone over in the lesson. And if you have that little booklet, and maybe I'll even try to get that information to everybody somehow, so that you could follow along. There's something to do, actually, every day leading up to the lesson for the following week. But anyway, Philippians 3:10. Here was Paul's goal in life. He says that I may know him. See that first statement? That I may know him. This is exactly what God is saying to Moses to tell the people, that I am saving them to bring them unto myself, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You see, I was doing discipleship yesterday with someone, and the lesson was talking about, well, part of it was having victory over sin. Temptation comes in three ways. It comes from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and how we can have victory over all three. And every time that those things come and they tempt us, victory is found in the Word of God. And that power of the resurrection of the Son of God, that I may know him, and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul, one of Paul's great goals in life was to know the Lord. In Christ tonight, in 2025, as we come down to the end of another month, and that means we're coming down to the end of another year. Wow, only one more month left. Wow, what a year it's been. Praise the Lord. Let's finish strong. Let's finish in our Bibles. Let's finish loving the Lord. Let's finish helping people. Let's finish glorifying the Lord, as has been our theme. But Christ wants to bring us to himself that we might enter into this sweet communion with him. And once this is realized, we begin to look for him in everything. We begin to look for God in everything. We begin to speak of Christ more often. We begin to speak of him at work. We begin to speak of him at school. Why? Because we're getting to know him. And we can't help but share things that God has done in our life. I mean, think back just on 1 week. Really, if you take 1 week and if you go past about 1 week back, unless you've really jotted down notes, sometimes we begin to forget about things even 2 weeks ago or a month ago. But I have my paper calendar still, and I write a lot of things on that paper calendar, and I carry it with me almost everywhere I go, and I can pull that thing out and kind of look and see what's happened back in October and all the way back through there. I have to, or I'll forget. And a lot of the things that I've written down are things that God has done, and blessings and things of that nature, and prayer requests. But I begin to look back, and I save those calendars, and I've got them in my filing cabinet. You can pull those things out. And, you know, every once in a while, we ought to take in our mind, we ought to pull out our calendar and just think about all the good things that God, all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. All the victories, all the blessings, all the challenges too, but God's faithful in those as well. And we ought to spend some time. When we think about those things, we want to tell somebody about it. We want to tell somebody about the goodness of God. We want to tell somebody about how God has taken care of us. And we look for him because he is working in all things. Deuteronomy chapter 32. He is working in all things. Deuteronomy 32. Verse number 11. God's word reads, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings." Then notice this, "so the Lord." So really you can tie that in and we can say, as an eagle, so the Lord. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. As an eagle, so the Lord. As an eagle works in the nest, so the Lord works in your life and mine. So let's take a look at this and consider this tonight in this brief outline. Number one, we see as an eagle, so the Lord builds. We're going to see four things comparing the eagle to what the eagle does to what the Lord does. As an eagle, so the Lord builds. An eagle finds a nest not on the ground. An eagle finds a nest and builds a nest, I should say, high above the ground. And the greatest of care is taken in that eagle building the nest. the right sticks, the right putting them in the right place, building it all, putting it together. As an eagle builds, so God builds. God doesn't build nests, God builds people. God is building your life. Again, I do not believe for a minute that God saves us and then he just abandons us. No, that's just the beginning. God saves us, and then he desires to build us. Philippians chapter 1, we may not have time to turn to all of these. I quoted some of this verse this morning. Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good, what? Work. As an eagle, so the Lord builds. Hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is wanting to finish and wants to finish the work that he has begun in you and in me. We must let God build. The free will of man extends past salvation. You have a choice to receive Jesus Christ as Savior or reject him. It's like what we said this morning, the guy standing at the bus stop. He's either going to get on the bus or he's going to stand there. When the bus leaves, it's too late. God has a plan for each and every one of us tonight. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We can either get in Christ or we can stand around and wait. And when the rapture happens or we die, it's going to be too late. I would encourage you tonight, examine your salvation. Do you have salvation? It doesn't come through the baptism. It doesn't come through the church. It comes through Christ. And God is building something in you, and God is building something in me, and he will work on it, and he does work on it, but you have to yield, and I have to yield. I have to say yes to the Father. I have to say yes to his building process in my life. And someday, if we allow him to build, and he's wanting to build, we will be more like Christ. We will be more like Christ. Matthew 16, 18 says that Jesus Christ is the one who builds the church. He said that he would build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He said, I will build my church. God wants to build the church. Who is or what is the church? The church is born again believers. If you're saved tonight, that includes you. So when God is building something, when God is building something in people, he's also building the church. So number one, as an eagle, so the Lord builds. Tonight, God has a sign over your life, work in progress. He's not finished yet. By the way, if you're saved, then, well, we all have an appointment with death that is coming. It is appointed unto men once to die. And I believe that God has a perfect plan for each and every one of our life. He's fashioning us, he's molding us, he's making us to be more like his son. Again, let's not be the clay who tries to tell the potter how to build our life. Let's be the clay. Clay is moldable. Clay has nothing to say. Just lets the Father's hands mold it. So, as an eagle, so the Lord builds. Let's quickly move along here. Number two, as an eagle, so the Lord breaks. Let's go back to chapter 32 of Exodus. Exodus 32. I've got to get back over there myself. And look at verse 11. Oh, sorry, not Exodus. I'm sorry. Deuteronomy. Forgive me. I looked right at it, but yeah. Guess I need new glasses. Deuteronomy 32. I thought for a minute there, why am I saying Exodus? But I was still determined for it to be Exodus. As an eagle, verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. As an eagle stirreth up her nest. In other words, those little baby eaglets, they were not born to stay there forever. And the mother eagle knows that. That's what this stirring of the nest has to do with. Because the mother eagle is preparing this baby, this eaglet, this little baby eagle to fly. She's preparing her baby to fly and to catch prey and all of these things. And so what has to happen? The eagle has to stir up the nest. I believe this means that the eagle has to take some of the padding out of the nest, maybe. Maybe at one point there was all kinds of padding that eagle had got and put in that nest and got ready for the day when those eggs were going to hatch and made a nice comfortable bed for that eagle to, those eaglets to come out and be in this nice soft area. And boy, it just felt really good, you know, and mama was there and all those things that were happening. And so, but as time would go on, there had to be a breaking. There had to be a time in this baby eagle's life, if you will, where the mother began to take some of those soft areas out of the nest. And guess what? When the soft areas come out, what is the eagle going to feel? The poking of the stick that's in the nest. Or whatever is in there that soft area was protecting the eaglet from. She breaks up the nest and makes it uncomfortable. Because she doesn't want the eaglet to only want to stay in the nest. She wants that baby eaglet to look beyond what was comfortable, if you will. You see, God desires to do much more with your life and mine. And sometimes he has to remove what is comfortable. Sometimes he has to remove, if you will, the padding from our nest. And it gets a little pokey. And it gets a little bit uncomfortable. And it's not so easy. And we can't just make it happen anymore. What do we have to do? We have to depend on God. We have to depend on our Creator. We have to look to Him, for He alone can bring us what we need. And He breaks. Why difficult things happen is because God desires to do more in our lives. He breaks up things that cause us to seek Him. Remember the meaning of life based on Exodus 19:4? What is the meaning of life? To come closer to Him. As an eagle, number one, so the Lord builds. Number two, as an eagle, so the Lord breaks. Number three, notice what it says there in our Exodus 32. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, notice what she does. She fluttereth over her young, verse 11. Number three, as an eagle, so the Lord broods, B-R-O-O-D-S. Now we're going to have to think like an eaglet here for a minute, okay? The eaglet sees mother soaring over the nest. I don't know, do eaglets talk to each other? I've never been in an eagle's nest. Boy, it'd be great to be up there in the sky right now. But one way or another, they're seeing all of that take place. She has already begun to stir the nest, as we said earlier. She has their attention a little better now. She has their ability, she has their attention more on her now. What is mama trying to do to us? What is she doing? What is she teaching us? She is brooding over us. She watches over them because she knows what is going on as an eagle. Could I ever fly like that? Could I ever do that? When God gets my attention, when God gets our attention, He's seeking for us to respond to Him. He's seeking for us to humble ourselves. And say, God, I need you. I can't live this life without you. God, sometimes I think I've got it all under control, but God, I know there's no way I can walk. There's no way I can live. There's no way I can be a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, go to work tomorrow, go to school tomorrow. There's no way I can handle the responsibilities of life without you. And by the way, that's a good place to get. Where we know that we really desperately need God. And by the way, God will always come through with a group of people that have that type of attitude, that it's not all about me, I need the Lord. That's exactly what's happening here. The beauty of it is that God's eyes are always on us. As the eagle flutters over her young, God is always near. God is always near. God is not distant from his children. We might be distant from God, but God is always near. In the sense of how it looks to him, he's right there. But in how we look, it's like, where's God? And God is saying, look, I'm still right where you left me. Come back to me. And God is right there, just like the prodigal son's dad. He was right there with his arms wide open. Boy, God is so good. So as an eagle, God builds. As an eagle, God breaks. As an eagle, God broods. And lastly, number four, and you've probably read this in other passages, I think Isaiah 40, as an eagle, so the Lord bears. Verse number 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, can you imagine this? Taketh those little babies out of the nest and beareth them on her wings. I've never seen that. I mean, that would be quite the sight, wouldn't it? It's one thing to see an eagle soaring around or perched in a tree or whatever, but can you imagine seeing an eagle somehow and there's a little eaglet head that pops out while it's flying around? I don't know that that would be too easy to, probably going to be too high in the air for us to see that. But that's exactly what happens. The eaglets were born to fly, not sit in a nest. They were not born to sit there and guard the nest for the rest of their life. There must be faith in order to fly. Who is their faith in? Their mother. And tonight we're picturing that mother eagle as our loving God. If we're going to soar in this life, even in the challenging times, we must realize that inevitably it is not your wings. And it is not my wings. It's the wings of our God. Just as the mother is carrying her eaglets and helping them and teaching them, God is the one carrying you and me tonight. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God that is forming you and molding me and making me to be more in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. This eagle, this baby eagle, we'll try to fly, but I'm sure the first attempt is not too successful. And what happens is the mother eagle has to swoop down and catch that little eagle on the wings. Maybe attempt number two, maybe a little bit better, but not so good still. And the mother eagle swoops down, catches that baby eagle on her wings. She lifts that baby into the skies to try again. Try again. And eventually, though, you know that time will come and that eagle will be able to fly. But it's because of all of the training and the teaching that the mother eagle has done. Tonight, as a child of God, you are safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can only fall so far before we fall onto his protective wings. God is taking care of us each and every step of the way. Remember, he bears us on wings. Why? To bring us unto himself. When we fail, our Heavenly Father is there to bear us on wings. When we're doubting and discouraged, God is there to catch us, to nurture us. Yes, many times to correct us. Aren't you glad for a God of correction? We're thankful for a God of correction, you know. I mean, without that, we would really be in trouble because we would just keep going headlong into whatever. And I'm so thankful for the chastening hand of God. A loving and chastening hand. As an eagle, so the Lord builds. As an eagle, so the Lord breaks. As an eagle, so the Lord broods. And as an eagle, so the Lord bears. Lesson number 7, God bears us on eagle's wings. I'm done.